The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim, sitting in for Bernard Lim. Now, Singapore prepares for the lifting of circuit breaker measures in three phases. Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat yesterday revealed the government's fourth budget, amounting to $33 billion, dubbed the Fortitude Budget. The new budget has three main agendas: protecting livelihoods and transforming businesses, supporting households and communities, and providing further support to frontline agencies. And this includes $3.8 billion worth of measures, such as enhancements to the job support scheme announced on April 21st when the circuit breaker period was extended. And together with three earlier economic rescue packages, the Unity, Resilience and Solidarity budgets, this brings the government's support to almost $93 billion, or almost 20% of Singapore's GDP. We're speaking today to our resident career coach, Adrian Chu, co-founder and CEO of Career Agility International, to find out what these measures mean for workers in the coming months. Adrian, thanks for joining us again today.
My pleasure, as always, Howie.
So yeah, your initial thoughts on the Fortitude Budget, where were you seated when it was announced yesterday? Just only because the manpower landscape looks so dire at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the biggest standout feature that we noted was that it is a very timely and aggressive budget, and it's focused on assuring both the people psychologically as well as business owners. And I like the way that it's no longer a hammer, like the first one, which was what was needed back then to stem the bleeding. It has evolved into a surgical tool, you know, one that's more specific, like the way it provides additional support specifically to companies who can't quite yet open during phase one of recovery. So it's quite specific.
Yeah. Industries you think that might have been overlooked?
I would have loved to see more support for the SMEs rather than the deep-pocketed multinational corporations, MNCs.
But some of the measures for all firms, though?
It is. But for instance, like the job support scheme, the JSS, it helps the bigger companies more than the smaller companies, so to speak, because through virtue, they have more people. So maybe they could have given a tiered system that the SMEs might get a higher percentage.
So you don't think this JSS enhancement might help to mitigate the number of layoffs among SMEs?
Well, that's a big challenge, you see, because when you're looking at numbers, the sad fact is if a company has zero revenues or has no need for a specific role, even a 90% JSS won't save that employee.
Okay.
So it helps to sustain during the tough time, but it's not a cure. So the organization still has to learn to evolve.
So enough, though, that additional month to help them tide over the recovery period or before we hit circuit breaker.
As a business owner myself, you know, anything helps at this point. So the extra month, much grateful for it, yeah.
Okay, so the support, though, will also last till August. What about businesses who aren't reopening only until, say, phase three?
Yeah, that's going to be tough for them. But the businesses have to think about pivoting, going online or changing their business model. So C19 has showed the world that there are new ways of working. So there are bigger markets especially. So they need to evolve. Otherwise, they'll be left behind. So it's not just about the support, but they need to... The budget itself is geared towards getting them to evolve. So a lot of the benefits, like the funding, is tied to specific targets like going online or getting upgraded technologically. So that's what I meant when I said that the budget is very specific and it's tied to goals, which is what we left.
Let's talk about the hiring incentive for employers to hire local workers who've undergone eligible traineeships and upskilling training. So, for example, age 40 and above, 40% of monthly salary over 6 months, capped at $12,000. Given earlier you also said some businesses might not even have that position anymore as a point, how far, though, will this encourage firms to open up more positions for such local workers?
I think the programs have been going on for quite a while already, with varying degrees of success. I guess it helps, but many employers still don't know about these grants and schemes in greater detail, so some public education might help.
More outreach. Has that also been the issue with these long-standing initiatives that have been there for quite some time, like you say?
Yeah, that's true. No, that's interesting because I have spoken to many of my clients and they're going, what do you mean there's a CSP? What's a CSP? What's a PCP? There's so many programs with need initials, but what exactly do they mean? They're fantastic. My company has been using these schemes for quite a while and they're great.
How did you find out about it then?
Because being an SME, we're always penny pinching. So whenever we can get a grant, we go look for it. But the bigger companies, they don't really realize it. So I think some education would go a long way.
You're in the landscape. There are some 40,000 jobs which will be created in the public and private sectors. The public sector will create 15,000 jobs. Can these numbers accommodate the number of job seekers out there? People have been laid off. Just the sheer number of people looking for something to do.
I think having nice new jobs and everything is nice. Analysts, but to put it in perspective, the analysts are expecting close to 100,000 to 150,000 job losses. So it's a good start that about 100,000 new opportunities are there. To me, it's not a question of the number of opening of new job openings. These newly created jobs, how many of them will go to Singaporeans first? And not for what some people are rather unkindly calling job refugees from the MNC's headquarters being parachuted into Singapore to escape their employment drought at home. So we really need to have government look at restricting even further the number of EPs being doled out and make sure that these jobs go to Singaporeans.
Right. What about the mid-career job seeker or the over 40 job seeker, which we've talked about a lot, Adrian, over time, right? Does this help
them that market is tough because a lot of these guys are in what we call the sandwich generation because they have got both kids to feed as well as parents to take care of. So, and a lot of times their skill sets are waning as well. So they need to have a mindset shift. And even if these new jobs are opening up, how many are senior enough? These new jobs open and they are like mid-level or low-level junior speech therapists at a hospital, for instance, how many mid-careerists can actually afford to revert to a $3,000 a month salary?
Yeah.
So we have to be realistic there.
But those have always been things that you've espoused that the mid-career switch person should be thinking about.
That's true.
Tempering expectations and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's why they need to have a strategy, so to speak, whether or not I can take a short-term 6 months or 1 year salary hit, but does it scale up after a while? So all these, they need to figure out on their own how to manage their careers rather than just wait for handouts or get the government to support them all the way.
We're speaking with Adrian Chu, co-founder and CEO of Career Agility International. So you've called this particular budget the Fortitude Budget, a surgical one.
Yes, it is.
The previous budgets were more hammer-like. So would you say, putting the four packages together, we now have a well-rounded surgeon who can really take care of everything, so to speak. Bigger picture, what do you think?
The first part of it, we really needed a hammer. We really needed something to stop the bleeding. And now that the bleeding has stopped, now we got to start pinpointing where exactly the issues are.
Also, triage
where
first,
can we
right?
put the money? It's triage first, yeah. Where exactly can we put the money to best effect? And now we are seeing fine-tuning, which is really good. And I think a lot of thought went into it. So the biggest benefit of all of this is that it has led to a greater confidence, not just in the market for SME, for businesses, but also for the people, because they know that good things are coming and things are going to get better.
Anecdotally, we also hear more support may be coming, bigger contingent sum that allows the government and the Republic to respond faster to COVID-19. How much do you think will go to the manpower space?
I hope a lot. But I think more. What we'd like to see is more money allocated to upgrading via SkillsFuture. SkillsFuture is a fantastic platform that mid-careerists, especially those in their 40s, can benefit from, you know. So maybe an additional 1,000.
In February did.
Yes,
give more to the over 40s.
Correct. So there was almost $1,000 given, 500 plus 500, which was good.
Yeah.
But you can only use it sometime in August or September. So maybe they can release it faster.
Okay.
But what's more, maybe more money for training is always good. And if you're above 40, maybe another $1,000 more. But also the more liberal use of SkillsFuture funding for other courses, they are not just hard skills, but for personal development, you know, because we need to stay agile, we need to stay ahead of the global competition. So skills upgrading is something that's really critical for our manpower, and it's something we need to look at in greater detail.
So you think that's the most imperative now, to be able to upskill, although we have to, really?
We have to, because we are seeing a competition. And one thing is that C19 has shown us is that the market is global. People don't have to go to work anymore. People can video commute. And as a result, a lot of the work doesn't need to be done in Singapore, if you think about it. So what that means is that we are now open to even a bigger field of competition for skills. So someone else in a cheaper third world country, if they are good enough, they can literally take over our jobs now. We need to constantly upgrade our skills and stay competitive. And that's one thing that we need to have a very serious look at.
That's a tough thing, though. If someone's just lost their job, right, who can think about upskilling? I can't even feed my family.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why there is a government scheme right now, I can't remember what it's called, that allows you to get paid while you're training. Mm. So that's covered. Maybe the government can be a bit more aggressive on that as well.
All right.
But definitely, it's a skills market. So we all have to get upskilled, no matter, even if whether we've lost a job or not. I think it's all about skills.
Of course. Can you pinpoint which skill we should be getting?
I think the biggest skill we have is it's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
That we got to keep upgrading ourselves. Technology skills are important. People skills are important. Not just the technical skills, but the soft skills as well. So lots of things to learn out there. And I think we have to just keep being agile.
Adrian Chu, co-founder and CEO of Career Agility International. Thank you again, Adrian, for joining us today, and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.